And we're back, and with us on the phone is Matt Staver. He is with the Liberty Council. We're going to be discussing the Covington Catholic High School students. This continues as the investigation is continuing with the local county prosecutor there in Kentucky, with assistance by the FBI field office in Covington, Kentucky, in Louisville. And we have breaking news here on the program tonight about the correspondence we've received from the FBI in relation to the Covington Catholic High School students and the vitriol hatred campaign that was waged against them after they were at the March for Life and on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and were the target of counter-protesters, and then the target of a viral hatred campaign on social media. And there are people that are going to face the element of the law because of serious threats they made against the students and against the Christian school. As some of you know, that as a result, when the students got back to the school on Monday, the school had to close because of the school officials with local law enforcement saw it necessary because of the level of threats that were coming into the school. Later that week, athletic programs were suspended over security concerns. There were also two families that were doxxed. And as you remember, one of the tweets from Kathy Griffith, the comedian actor, she tweeted out about having the students doxxed. And that actually happened. And two of the families had to vacate their homes over security concerns. There was also a suspicious package that showed up at the school. The FBI agent, in a conversation with the Office of the Ohio Christian Alliance, did state that they were looking into that as well. And then the county prosecutor, Rob Sanders, stated last Friday that charges, when asked, he said charges will be filed. With us on the phone to discuss some of the elements of this is Matt Staver of Liberty Council. Matt, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
Well, Matt, yesterday the big news, of course, was that the Nick Sandman's family, they have filed a major lawsuit of defamation of character of Nick against the Washington Post. Their attorneys filed a $250 million lawsuit. That's more in the civil courts of things. We'll get to the criminal aspect of those who made threats against the students in the school. But your thoughts about the civil lawsuit against the Washington Post?
Well, I'm glad to see this, because this is certainly something that happens on a regular basis, where the media will actually target, frankly, bully someone just simply because of their ideology. And over the years, when I first began doing media interviews back in the 80s, early 90s, late 80s, from then till now, I've noticed a huge difference in the media. Two things have happened. One, their ethics have gone down, so they don't do investigative journalism. They don't try to even pretend to report fairly. And when they do write, they've got an agenda now. Back then, they may have had their own views, but they tried to be at least a little bit fair, at least pretending to be fair. And the second thing is the internet. With the advent of the internet, they no longer have the luxury of taking the time to write, and consequently, even a little blogger somewhere can scoop a major media by just putting it on some internet blog. And so there's pressure that they face to get this information out. And so what happens is they get a report, they don't investigate it, they just pass it on. They may change the title, but everything else is essentially the same. So it has a perpetuating factor. When you see the same story repeated in multiple media, the average person, not knowing any different, thinks that it's true. And that's exactly what you had here. You had a situation where Nick Sandman and the other Catholic high school students from Covington Catholic, they were simply waiting for the bus. They were the ones that were the target of discrimination by this Black Hebrew Israeli organization, this group that's very racist, and also then by this Mr. Phillips, who has a history of causing problems, who has a history, frankly, of lying. And anyone watching that video clearly could see that Nick and the students from Covington were not the aggressors, that they were the victims. And yet it didn't fit the narrative of the media. The media saw that they had a Make America Great Again hat. So it was an anti-Trump, anti-white, anti-Catholic, anti-March for Life narrative that blinded them and they ultimately used this situation, particularly this young man, and put his life in danger by pushing their knowingly false narrative just so that they could push their own agenda. So this is, I am very happy to see, a multimillion-dollar suit against the Washington Post, and it appears that it's the first of several lawsuits that will be coming down the pipe.
Our concern as an organization that advocates for Christian interests and Christian liberty is, of course, the civil rights of the students as Christian Catholics who were participating in the March for Life. They became the target of a counter-protesters, and then, of course, a social media hate campaign, and serious threats were levied against the school and the students. We sent correspondence, Matt. We did hold that press conference, as we talked about with you on the phone on that Tuesday of January 29th, and in Cincinnati. We sent correspondence overnight to the Justice Department in Washington, D.C., also the field office in Cincinnati of the FBI offices, also in Louisville, Kentucky, and we outlined the concerns that we had as the Christian community. 20 national organizations joined on to that letter, and also we gave them screenshots that were available on the internet of those who made the very serious threats against the school. We received correspondence back from Department of Justice. Actually, civil rights chief from the Criminal Investigation Division, Jeffrey Veltri, wrote us and stated that they were in receipt of our correspondence and that the field office in Louisville, Kentucky, is working with local law enforcement to continue the investigation. And we did receive a phone call from the special agent on the ground there as well, and we have spoken with the county prosecutor. I guess my question to you, Matt, is because I've talked to our own state attorney general, Dave Yost, who also wrote a letter to the field office in Louisville, Kentucky. He said if there's any of the students that are from Ohio or if there's an Ohio connection, his office is available to assist with the FBI in the investigation if necessary. But he talked to me about whether some of this criminal harassment, criminal activity, whether it's misdemeanor or felony. What, in your experience, what determines between the two? What's the definition?
Well, the easy definition is that a misdemeanor is something that can be punished with a fine or imprisonment under 1 year, and a felony is something that can be punished with a fine and imprisonment in excess of 1 year. That's the easy drawing line. Yeah. In terms of which one would be a misdemeanor and something else would be a felony, that varies from state to state because that's set by the state legislature in terms of what category of crime, what severity of punishment they want to attach to any particular crime. And sometimes it's not necessarily consistent across the board. A felony in one state could be a misdemeanor in another state, as an example. So that's going to be up to the individual state law there. But I do think that there's some certainly civil liability here and may well be some criminal liability. There's no question that there was some intent. Obviously, with criminal, unlike civil, you have a higher burden of proof and you have to have a specific intent in most cases where they have an intent to commit the particular act. But in this case, it seems pretty obvious that there was a concerted intent by a number of people, a number of organizations, certainly even media organizations, and obviously some of the others that were there, that were harassing. You know, for example, assault is a crime, and you can prosecute that both criminally as well as civilly. Assault means that you put somebody in fear of your life. It doesn't have to be that you actually battery somebody, you actually touch them. You know, other kinds of criminal laws could have been violated there as well. Of course, that would be governed in this case, in terms of the specific instance, by what happened in the District of Columbia regarding that particular encounter. But beyond that, there may be some other laws in Kentucky that might apply in terms of what was happening there. I know for a fact, in fact, I know in a recent situation, the one newspaper wrote an editorial from the editorial board about Liberty Counsel, and it was absolutely false. Fortunately, they allowed me to write a rebuttal to it to set the record straight. But what ultimately happened and what I claimed here and what you really see with these young boys and girls there at the Covington Catholic,
yes,
they were bullied. They were targeted. And the people who write this stuff and the people who act this way, they know or they should know or should have known that these kinds of acts toward them, that this kind of printed information toward them would put them in physical harm. It actually causes people to engage in violence, and they had to, the school had to shut down. You remember when they went back to school after
that's right.
Life, they were closed down because of so many threats. And these newspapers know that, and these writers know that, and yet they publish this kind of trash anyway. You know, they talk about stopping bullying, but they are and have become the biggest bullies on the block.
We're talking with Matt Staver, chairman of Liberty Council, and we're talking about the Covington Catholic High School students, and the investigation is ongoing with the county prosecutor there in Covington, Kentucky, also with assistance with the FBI. Matt, Rob Sanders, who is the prosecutor there in the county, he stated that he was had a records request to Twitter and to Facebook and the social tech giants, that records request because some of the tweets that were made of threats against the students were fictitious names, but the platforms, they know who these people are because they have to give their information.
Yeah.
So there was one individual was calling for a school shooter to go to the school. This is inducing panic. These are violating laws. I mean, you're causing a form of tyranny and actually inducing panic. The suspicious package, I don't care if it was cotton balls and if the intent was to induce panic at the school and it was in coinciding with these threats against the school. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, if they use the mail, that is a federal offense to use the mail improperly to send those kinds of things or commit fraud or commit threatening acts. And certainly the First Amendment has historically been interpreted not to protect those kinds of threats where they're targeted at someone. In light of what's happened in the public schools, for anyone to even remotely suggest that a shooter ought to go to that particular school is the height of just insult, and it is outrageous. And fortunately, nobody took someone up on that, but it certainly they had to take lots of precautions to protect themselves. That is something that ought to be investigated criminally. Twitter and anyone else that is using their vehicles to transmit this information and not stopping it, they ought to also be held accountable. You know, Twitter and Facebook and some of these others, they want to shut down conservative viewpoints just because they disagree with it. But what we've seen in those situations is they allow a specific hate that advocates physical violence against certain people. And they don't stop it. Oftentimes, they let it go because the person that it's directed against doesn't fit their ideological mold. And so it's a one-way street with them. They allow these threats to go one way, but they don't even allow ideas to be expressed, certainly not even to the level of threats. Nobody ought to be allowing that. But they don't even allow conservative ideas to be expressed. They censor that, and yet they allow these other people to target conservatives, Christians, people who are pro-life, pro-family, to target them, to lie about them, to defame them, and to even incite violence against them.
Well, and they operate as a utility, yet they're picking winners and losers on their platform of what speech they'll allow to be expressed, and yet they allowed this hatred towards these students to be pursued. I suspect that they're going to be amenable and compliable to the request of the county prosecutor to provide that information. If we find out that they are not cooperative, you know, again, we're going to appeal to the Justice Department, because we believe that civil rights were violated of these students. Matt, these are the young people that go to March for Life every year, and the future of the pro-life movement is the young people, bus after bus of these high school students, Christian schools who come in from around the country and are part of the 500,000 that actually march in the March for Life. And if we don't stick up for them, silence is consent. We can't allow that to happen, can we?
No, we can't. And again, that just like it goes back to the narrative that they didn't like. They don't like young Christian boys and girls from a Catholic school or any place else going to the March for Life. They won't cover the March for Life, and if they do, they'll say tens of thousands, which technically it is true. It's tens of thousands, but it's tens and tens and tens of thousands. Frankly, it's hundreds of thousands of people that are there, and they
yes.
know it. And then the other thing they won't report is the fact that 40%, maybe 50%, it could be higher, of the people that are there are in their teens and 20s. This is a young movement, unlike anything else anyone has ever seen or participated in. And here you have the paradigm of the future generation, this young generation that is the future leaders, young boys and girls from a religious school, they're at the March for Life, and some of them happen to be wearing a Make America Great Again hat. All of that just aggravated this very liberal, biased media so much that they were willing to cut and destroy, slash, and ultimately bring harm and put people's lives in danger. And whether it's civilly or criminally or a combination of both, all of those that were complicit, and there was a boatload of them, not just the people there on site, but certainly the media that sent out this knowingly false narrative, they ought to all be held accountable. Because as you mentioned before, not only the civil rights of these young pro-lifers were put in jeopardy, but you know, one of the things that they were trying to do is intimidate not only the school, but other pro-life young people from coming to the March for Life again, to put them in fear of their life. And not only were their civil rights violated, but their personal well-being, health, and safety, even their lives, were put in jeopardy
yes.
by this false reporting.
Well, that's right. And two of the families were docs that we know of. There may have been more. They had to vacate their homes in the aftermath of this because of the hate that came in, the threats that came in. In fact, there is an Ohio connection. One of the moms of one of the students works in Cincinnati at a law firm, and this was reported in the Cincinnati Inquirer. And actually, her inbox at the law firm, Matt, was filled with vicious threats and hatred. The transcripts of those calls were turned over to the county prosecutor in Covington, Kentucky. I suspect that the law firm is holding on to those audio files, for they may provide for a civil action against some of those as well. So again, there's lots of elements to this story. We can't let it go. That's why we're encouraging our U.S. Justice Department, the FBI, and local law enforcement to pursue it so that this can send a clear and present message that this kind of activity, of this hatred against Christians, isn't going to be tolerated. Your thoughts?
Well, I think I really applaud you for doing that so that this doesn't just simply get pushed under the rug and the media, you know, go on to some other story. They don't even apologize or acknowledge that they were wrong. They just go on to some other story, and then they pick another victim. This is one victim they tried to cut and slash. They weren't successful, fortunately. But now they're on to another victim. They'll find someone else. They're going to continue with their slasher defamatory process. And I think it is important that this gets resolved, that we don't just allow them to continue on this path of defaming and harming individuals. You know, we know, just like the Southern Poverty Law Center come up with this fake hate group where they list pro-family, nonviolent
yes.
organizations, they know that it puts people in danger. They know about the Family Research Council event in 2012.
That's right.
Corkins tried to commit mass murder. They know about the guy who tried to commit mass murder against the Republican baseball practice group up there in Washington, D.C. And the media knows about it, and the high-tech people know about it. They would be just simply living on another planet if they didn't, and yet they continue to perpetuate that kind of narrative because they really don't care. They frankly don't care. Their only objective is to push their bankrupt liberal ideology, and they will do it at the expense of a person's reputation. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, but they'll even do it at the expense of a person's life.
Mm. Well, that's the great concern here. Matt, thank you so much for coming on the program and sharing your thoughts today. We appreciate your expertise and counsel on this. Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. Matt, again, how can people reach Liberty Counsel?
They can go to our website, which is very simple, just two letters, lc.org. That's lc.org.
Well, thank you, my friend, for joining us again, and we always appreciate and all the work that Liberty Counsel does. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
God bless. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away. This is Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance. We have an online petition to support the Covington Catholic High School students. The petition reads, "Today I join the Ohio Christian Alliance and my fellow concerned citizens in calling for the FBI and the U.S. Justice Department to investigate the dangerous threats that were made against the Covington Catholic High School students and to secure their safety and security. It is important for us as a Christian advocacy organization to stand with these students who simply went to the March for Life and were expressing their civic responsibility to stand for the unborn. They became the target of counter-protesters and a hate campaign that was generated by social media. Join us in signing the petition to support the Covington Catholic High School students by logging on to ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance.
This is Molly Smith, President of Cleveland Right to Life. Please save the dates March 8th and 9th, 2019 for the 10th annual Bringing America Back to Life Convention at the Embassy Suites in Independence, Ohio. Join us as once more we host Cleveland Right to Life's most significant education platform, designed to equip and engage all those involved in the greatest civil rights issue of our day, the right to life. Our Friday dinner keynote speakers are actor Nick Loeb and Hollywood producer Kathy Allen, who are co-producing the dramatic film Roe v. Wade, the movie, which shows what led to the Supreme Court's decision that legalized abortion. Backed by popular demand, as our keynote dinner speaker on Saturday is none other than the much-loved Star Parker, who has almost single-handedly exposed the depth of despair in the urban community caused by out-of-control abortion and the breakdown of the family. Don't miss these powerful messages. Join us March 8th and 9th at this unique convention right here in Cleveland. For information, go to bringingamericabacktolife.org or call Laura at 440-458-6240. That's bringingamericabacktolife.org or call Laura at 440-458-6240.
And I want to again thank Matt Staver for joining us of Liberty Counsel to talk about the Covington Catholic High School students. And if you've not yet signed the petition online, log on to ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. Also, our national organization website, caamerica.org, or just Google Christian and Alliance of America, and sign the online petition and express your support for the Covington Catholic High School students. I'm going to read for you the excerpt of the letter that we sent to the FBI back on January 29th. These Christian students were participating in a peaceful civic activity in our nation's capital, exercising their First Amendment right by participating in the annual March for Life. As they waited for the bus to take them back home, they became the target of counter-protesters. Then they became the target of a media and social media-generated hate campaign. Their civil rights were violated, and serious threats that have been documented were made against them. That is why we are asking for the FBI to investigate these serious threats that were made against the Covington Catholic High School students. We actually sent a letter also to the high school principal and expressing our support for the students and for the school. And we said that we hope that law enforcement takes this measure seriously and sends a strong message that needs to be sent that this kind of hateful criminal harassment will not be tolerated against Christians and Christian institutions. It is our hope that things can soon return to normal for the school and the student body. And we signed that and sent it to the school as well. We did receive correspondence also from State Attorney General Dave Yost, who wrote, "I was recently made aware from a press account that the Covington Field Office of FBI may be investigating threats against the students at the Covington Catholic High School in Covington. The First Amendment rights are being violated and supporting a pro-life position. While in Covington is obviously not within the state of Ohio, I am concerned that Ohio children attend the school may have been threatened. If the Ohio Attorney General's office is able to assist in any investigation, please feel free to contact my office." And of course, then we received a letter from the Department of Justice and Jeffrey Valtry, who is the Chief Civil Rights Unit Criminal Investigation Division, letting us know that they're in receipt of our correspondence to their office and directed us to work with the Louisville, Kentucky field office of the FBI as the investigation is continuing. We're going to give you updates on this, and if you wanted to support the Ohio Christian Alliance in our message, mission in defending the rights of Christians and our pro-life, pro-family activity at the Ohio State House in Washington, D.C. Log on to our website and make a contribution of any size will support us and this program of News and Focus that comes to you each week. We appreciate your support. God bless you. And again, visit our website at ohioca.org. And thank you for your support. God bless, and we'll see you next week on News and Focus.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.